it's okay. I can get by this morning as long as I'm careful with it. And we're going to be in Ecclesiastes. And we didn't finish up last week's lesson. I'm going to branch off of last week's lesson. So let's see. Let's give you the points from last week. We said Solomon decided to try everything and to know the result of pleasure and work on earth. He strangely kept his wisdom. Because of this, he's able to see the waste of life, live for this world's pleasures. Those are our main points. Underneath that last point, it says things come and go. You're just a blip. Again, if you're just looking under the sun, things come and go. And if you're not looking at God's perspective, you're just a blip and just part of the repetition of life. Number two, pleasures are fun, but that's it. They're unfulfilling. Three, good and bad happens to everyone on earth. Four, when you die, it doesn't matter. Again, if we're just looking at that perspective of under the sun, of this world itself, all these things don't really matter if we're just looking under the sun, because you know what? Good and bad things happen to everybody. But it's so different when you're a Christian and serving the Lord, because all things work together for good. Once you're in God's will, nothing can happen to you that's not part of God's plan for your life. And then, it is better to be happy than to have lots of things. Think about a kid who's happy. Is better off than a king who has everything. And then work makes you happy. And work makes you happy. And that's a truism. I've told people, just talking to people who do not work, or they're on disability and they're not allowed to work and all those things. I don't like that situation, by the way. It's bad for people not to work, bad for their soul, bad for their everything. I wish the government could extend unemployment, because I know 6, 7, 8 people who are not finding a job because unemployment pays better than most of the jobs they can find. And most of you know people like that. It's not the money or anything. It's just it's bad to be idle and it's bad not to have a job for people, for men especially. They do better. And then all the pleasures are somewhat empty. We said you cannot understand life from an under-the-sun perspective. And that's kind of where I finished chapter 8 and verse 14. It says, there is a vanity which is done upon the earth, and that there be just men to whom it happeneth according to the work of the wicked. Again, there be wicked men to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous. I say this is also vanity. So the same thing happens to both people, no matter whether they're righteous or good. That doesn't make sense. Verse 17, and I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun, because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it out. Yea, further, though a wise man think to know it, he shall not be able to find it. Anybody who tells you they know the answer to all the questions of life is not telling the truth. You can know the answers of the Bible about why we're here, what to do with our lives, how to live, how to run a family, how to do your you can understand how to do your finances and all kinds of things you can find out. But all of a sudden, if somebody in the church gets in a car wreck today, there's things you can't find out. You don't know why until you get to heaven. Somebody gets cancer. You don't know that stuff. There's things you cannot find out, though you think you know everything. You don't know if God's working together. You don't know if God's going to get somebody at the funeral saved that wouldn't get saved otherwise. You don't know if it's God just says time for them to go to heaven. You don't know if they were going to backslide and go away from God, so God's going to take them home. You don't know if they would have wandered away from God if they didn't get cancer. There's a million things that we don't know. We you don't understand life. It doesn't make sense with just under the sun perspective, except for you're an accident and everything's random, which is a bad point of view. Next, serve God and enjoy your youth. Serve God and enjoy your youth. Let's go ahead and pray. We'll talk about that. Lord, I pray you'd help us now to understand your word. I pray you give us perspective on life. Lord, thank you that Solomon was able to write this book, having experienced all the pleasure that a human can experience and having nothing restrained from him, all the money and all the situations to do whatever he wanted. And yet he could write about the vanity of this life lived for everything on this earth and things under the sun. Thank you, we're not living for things under the sun, but things up in heaven forever. And I pray you'd help us to get the right perspective, having learned from him and what he can teach us. We pray in Jesus' name, Amen. Serve God and enjoy your youth. Chapter 11. Oh, let's see. Verse 8, it says, "But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember all the days of darkness, for they be many, and all that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But knowest thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment? Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart." In verse chapter 12, verse 1, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the days draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." We'll focus on that verse a lot today. But enjoy your youth and live your life. I talked to singles this week. It's been a long week. I talked to singles this week, and we had a lesson on most people in their entire lives are not enjoying the point they're at now, waiting for the point that they think will make them happy. When they're a kid, they can't wait till they grow up, and they turn. They can't wait to get to junior high. Then they can't wait to get to high school. Then they can't wait to graduate from high school. Then they can't wait to turn 16 so they can drive. And then they can't wait to turn 18, and then 21, and then go to college and graduate from college. And then they can't wait till they get married. And then once they're married, they can't wait. They wish they weren't married, and they can't wait till they have kids, and they wish they didn't have kids. Then they wish that they could have their finances all good, and in a few more years, they think they'll have that. And then they get to that point where their finances are good, and they wish they were younger again. And then they continue to go through life, and then they wish they were retired. And they get they're retired, and then they wish they were young again. And every time at their 40, they wish they'd go back to being a kid again because life was simple. And then at no point in their life do they generally enjoy and live life to the fullest and grasp life. At any age, most people just usually are waiting till everything comes together, and then they'll enjoy their life. And it says, "Remember now thy Creator, and do these things. Serve God and enjoy your youth." Life becomes busy, complicated, and harder. And we'll spend more time on that because that's our next lesson. Number next, the conclusion: God was right. Live for Him in eternity. Now, here's the thing: remember, Solomon knew what was right from his youth, and before he did the things of Ecclesiastes, went and got 700 wives and 300 concubines and built everything he wanted and had all the pleasures and lived in morality and got drunk. And before he did all that stuff, he was serving God faithfully. And he knew the right way. And then when he got done with all that he tried, and remember, he was the one guy in the world who got to have everything he wanted. Physically on earth, which nobody gets nowadays. He got everything he wanted, and then he got done, and then he said, "You know what? I've come to the conclusion. I went in a big circle. Serving God is the right way to go. You just should serve God. That's the whole purpose." Chapter 12, verse 13. "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Isn't that simple? He just said, "I just figured all that out. I tried everything," and many of you have done that. You've been on both sides of the fence, serving God and in the world, and that's why you're here today. Because you found out that God's way is right, and fearing God and keep His commandments is the way to go. And he concluded that. He concluded that God's way is right, and that you should serve the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. God's going to bring everything into judgment. And when his way before this of thinking, he just thought life was purposeless. Verse 8, "Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanities." So his perspective of under the sun was all is waste. If I work hard, somebody else gets it when I die. If I do this, it doesn't matter. If I do this, this is random. Everything doesn't matter. Everything's given a chance, and I'm wasting my time. But if I serve God, God brings every evil to pass in judgment and every righteous thing in judgment, and everything you do does matter because you get an eternal judgment on it, and everything comes back to you. And so that's what he concluded. And I think that's a practical lesson. Anybody have any questions about Solomon's experience? We call that Solomon the poison checker. He went through life and poison-checked life and found out what life's purpose was. And he came to the end and said, fear God, keep his commandments. That's the whole duty of man. And he said, don't do what I did. It was a waste of life. Serve God. All righty, let's go to Ecclesiastes 12:1 again and start a new lesson branching off of this one verse. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. So remember that you're created in the days of your youth. Let me put a little asterisk before this thing. Not everybody in here is what you think of as young. However, let me explain to you something. I've learned, and boy, I'm so glad I learned this. I really grasped this, and I grasped it when I was 29 years old, about to turn 30. Is a decade's a long time. And you know what? Nobody in this room is really old. If you think you're really old, you only need to do one thing, and that's go to a nursing home. That's all you have to do. And you'll walk out of there feeling like a spring chicken. You'll feel very young, and you'll feel like you have plenty of energy, and you feel like you can do a lot of things, and you'll feel healthy, and you'll feel like you've got a lot to do in life. You know, if you're 60, your time between 60 and 70 can be a productive time. You can still walk and talk and think and run and do the things you got to do. Run around and not run laps. I mean, go through life and do things and get things done and help people and feed people. By the way, you're smarter now. You don't waste as much energy. You don't do the hamster thing. If you're in your 50s, 50s are great. I'm 40. 40s are the prime of my life. They say men's prime is their 40s. Women's prime is their 20s, they say. I'm in the prime of life now because I'm way smarter than I was in my 20s. You know how dumb I was when I was in my 20s? You know how much wasted energy I had? You know how many times I think of the time when the person told me we had a snowstorm and the child told me, says, you know how slippery it was in my driveway? My mom... She just kept going faster and faster. We didn't go anywhere. I looked at the speedometer. The speedometer said 85, and we still weren't moving. I said, that's a Seattle driver in the snow. That's how a lot of people are. They got a lot of energy, and they're good at running around in circles and getting nothing done. You should have learned in life how to get a lot done and how to have a productive life. So if you're 30, 40, 50, this message is still for you because you're not in a nursing home. You're not rolling around in the wheelchair today. You still have time and energy. And let me just give you a few things about this. Number one, the term creator is used in this phrase. Now, a lot of other places in this book, the creator isn't used. For example, if we look at the verse we just read in chapter 12, verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the matter, fear God. The word God is used there. Verse 14, fear God. For God shall bring every work to pass. So you see the term God is used, but in verse 12 it says, remember thou thy Creator in the day of thy youth. There's many terms you could use for God. You could use Father. You could use God. You can use Lord. You can use Jehovah. You can use all kinds of names for God. God uses all kinds of names for himself. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, all kinds of things. But in this passage he uses Creator. A couple things there. It denotes an obligation to him. He created you. That means he made you for a purpose, and he owned you, and he is your creator. So remember that. When you're young, remember God created you. God created you. That means you have an obligation to serve him. You wouldn't be here without him. He isn't just God. He is your creator. Number two, it denotes purpose. When you're a young person, you need to grasp the purpose of your life. And you, whatever age you are today, you need to grasp the purpose God has for your life. You are here for a purpose. You are made for a purpose. God has a plan for you. And by the way, if he made you for a purpose and you don't fulfill that purpose, you will have an empty life and you will not do what you were made to do. And that being the case... You will not excel and you will harm yourself because you are a shoe being used as a hammer. You're not used for your purpose. Your creator You need to remember him, it says. It's interesting, it mentions remembering God. One of the things as we do, young people and in our lives when we're young, that we need to make sure that we teach our children, that we tell young people to do that we know, is remember God in all your plans. I want to go to college, I want to go to this, I want to be a doctor, I want to be a lawyer, I want to be a this or that. Many people make, it's amazing, many people make plans who are even Christians and spiritual people, and they make this incredible plan, and you just ask a simple question. Have you ever asked God what he wants you to do with your life? You know how few people, Christians, how few people ever even ask God that? They just do what they want to do, and here's a strange thing. It may not even be bad plans. It's just plans. And they might be good plans and brilliant plans. But are you remembering God and your plans for your life? Are you remembering God when you go decide what job to get it as an adult? Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Think about God. Consider God. Remember Him. Remember that life is here because of Him, because He created you. Next, your youth is the best time to serve the Lord. Your youth is your best time to serve the Lord. All of you who are over, say, about 25, know this. Here's a crazy thing. The devil is so good at deceiving. When you're young, you say, when I get older and settled down, I'll serve the Lord. And when you get older and settled down, you say, I am so busy, I can't hardly serve God. And he uses both those perspectives to get you not to serve God. And when you're young, you think, when I have done everything and tried everything and ran around and got all my energy out, I'll settle down to serve God. By the way, can I say this? Serving God, like the Bible has you serving God, if you read the book of Acts, it's not a settling down. It's a very busy, full, productive life. It's a wonderful, rich, abundant life where you're busy helping people and serving God and seeing lives change and being involved in God's work and in a fulfilling life. When you're young, you've got a lot of reasons why you ought to, when you're young, serve God. Let me give you just reasons why you serve God in your youth. A, because you have the energy. You have the energy. When I was young, I said, you know what? I will never get fat. I have so much energy. If I ever gain any weight, I'll just go run it off. That didn't work. Half the problem is I'm too busy. The other half the problem is, you know what? It takes a lot of energy to expel to go run. I went and bought a treadmill, and that thing is awesome for hanging coats. Every once in a while, just recently, I'd gained too much weight, and I lost it. I just changed my diet a little bit and lost some of it. I could still lose a few more. But you know what? It takes energy, and I expel a lot of energy with a lot of things. With a lot of things. And, you know, when you're young, you have the energy to serve God. It takes a lot of energy to serve God. Go to church every service like you ought to. Getting up early to go help with the ministry of the church. Spending your time in prayer and Bible reading. Raising your family right like God wants you to, that means spending time with Him, not just vegging out and watching TV all night. It takes some energy to serve God. Ministry work, it takes energy to serve God. And that's a good reason to serve God while you're young. Now, when you're old, you serve God anyway and you expel your energy. It just, you have to work a little harder and it's just a little harder to get out of the chair. But then you go do it anyway. And you just got to make yourself do it. When you're young, you got all kinds of energy to do it. You just got to point it in the right direction, and it's easy. Next, life is not overwhelming you. Remember now that I created in the days of thy youth, and we'll read the next bunch of verses in a minute here. It says, while the evil days come not, nor the days draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. You know, when you're a teenager and you start getting a little busier and you have more school and you have to start planning for college and driving and your social life picks up, you think you're so busy. Remember when you're a teenager, you thought everything is going crazy, I'm so busy. How many like to trade your busy time now for the busy time then? When you're young, life is pretty simple. Even in your 20s, life's still pretty simple unless you've really messed your life up. Life's pretty simple in your 20s. You got a job, you got a career, you're starting to work a job, and you got maybe a car payment, and you're in an apartment. You're not worried about your 401k. You're not worried about retirement. You're not worried about kids. You're not worried about what the next generation is going to be like. You're not worried about all this stuff. You're not worried about your health. You're going to be healthy forever. Life's pretty simple when you're young. That means you can just focus on God, where those of us who've got lives that are full of a million things, and I do just like you do, I've got a million things to think about just like you do, we've got to push everything out of the way to put our minds on Jesus and to make time for Sunday church. When life's simple, you got to serve God. Next, it is not a chore to expend energy. Life is not overwhelming you. It's simple, and it's not such a chore to expend energy. Why serve God in your youth? You have the energy. Life is not overwhelming you, and you will not have the strength nor abilities forever. You will not have the strength nor abilities later on. Look at chapter 12, verse 2. It said, before the evil days come, and you say, I have no pleasure in them. And this is talking about old age, where you can't do much. You can just look out the window, and things get dim, and you can't hear good. This is the nursing home. While the sun or the light of the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the days when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, and the sound of grinding is low. And he shall rise up at the voice of a bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. You can't sleep good, and you can't hear beautiful music as much. And also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden. It's heavy. And desire shall fail, because a man goeth into his long home, and the mourners go about the streets, the funeral. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken, and the fountain or the wheel be broken in the cistern, and then the dust shall return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, see the preacher, all is vanity. Solomon, having have all that wisdom and grasp life, the Bible says, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. He grasped that life flies by and you get old, so while you're young, expend your youth for God. I started serving God when I was 16, and by the time I was 17, I was all in, jumping in for God. I mean, busy for God. I was busy for God. I can't tell you how much stuff I was doing. Anything that needed done with the church, I was there. I was at the church at least 40 hours a week when I was 17. The church didn't pay me anything, but I was basically an employee of the church. I built things, moved things, organized things, set up things, taught Sunday school, ran a bus route, preached. I preached twice a week. I was busy, 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 busy. And you know what? It was awesome and fun. I don't regret that. I still feel like I have a good amount of energy and good health. That could change tomorrow. I understand that. I'm under the weather today a little bit. I understand that that's going to happen. My 20s, I was going to Bible college. And boy, was I busy. I was busier in my 20s than I was in my teens. And then in my 30s, I was getting this church going and establishing this church, and I was working a full-time job and working a part-time job some of the time and working in the ministry of God. And you know what? I had energy to do it all. I'm sure glad I didn't burn up those years. I understand how fast life goes. I think I really grasped it. I said when I was 29, I was going to say, I can't believe I'm 30. I'm still a kid. I was just a teenager. I can't believe I'm turning 30 now. You know, life flies by, and my 30s didn't fly so much because I grasped that. Days are important, folks. Don't blow days. Don't blow weeks. Don't blow months. Make your life productive. Do the things that you wish you would have done if you didn't do them. Spend the time with your kids. Your kids will grow up faster than you can imagine. And you'll say, I was going to do this and this and this and this with the kids. And all of a sudden, they're 18. And they say, hey, let's go fishing. They say, fishing? You never took me fishing. I mean, don't live your life saying, where did the time go? Decide where the time goes. Make today an awesome day. You don't have tomorrow ever. Make today a full, rich, productive day. Write somebody a note that you wish you would have wrote a note to. Go hug somebody you wish you'd have hugged. Go give pastor $20 if you wish you would have done it. Go do things that you wish you would have done, and make this a full. Come back to church tonight. Make your life rich and full. Don't live your life constantly saying, "Where did the time go?" I know where my time goes. I don't mean you have to do the rat race thing where you're trying to work 80 hours a week at your job. That's wasting your life. You don't need to work 80 hours a week. Unless you're doing a job that, like, I get the pleasure of doing where it's helping people all the time. Live your life that matters, and because eventually the time will come when you don't have strength to do the things that you want to do. Remember Brother Treber, he got real severe arthritis when he started late 20s, real severe. I remember him and in his mid-30s saying, "I cannot run with my little boy." I thought, man, I never want my kids, my boys, not to remember running and wrestling with dad. So I did that and still do it while I can. Because you will not have the strength nor abilities later that you have now. Well, I used to love winning souls when I was a teenager. You know why? I could witness to anybody anywhere and nobody got offended. It was so weird for a teenager to come knock on a door and witness to somebody. The adults would just listen and say, "Why is this kid so clean cut? And why is he talking to me about God?" That's not what teenagers do. I could walk up to kids in the middle of a playground and witness all the kids and no adults thought anything of it. I can't do that now. Because our society, because I'm a middle-aged man, if I walk up and talk to kids for too long, it looks bad. When I was a teenager, I was doing it all over the place. There are so many things when you're young you can do that are advantaged. Listen, when you're young and you have wisdom, people who are young listen to you because they think you know what you're talking about because you're young like them. Because they're dumb. They think only young people are smart and old people don't understand. That's true, isn't it? If you're young and you're wise enough to know a few things and you give advice to young people, they listen to you more than they do old people who know more than you. You're using your abilities for God. Young people can sign up kids for church way better for bus routes than old people. Use your youth for God. I'm glad I got to do those things, and I hope you'll use what you have right now. If you're in your 30s or 40s, listen, you go use that energy and strength you still have why God has given you the ability. And by the way, now you have more sense. You can use it better. Next, why serve God in your youth? You lose what you do not spend for God. You lose what you do not spend for God. Let me go to Luke. Look at Luke here. So you're 50 years old or 40 or 30 or whatever you are, 60 or whatever you are in this room. You know, whatever you have for the rest of your life, and it might be 20 years if you live to be 70. You know how long 20 years is? 20 years is a long time. In the next 20 years or 30 years, or maybe you're 50 and you're going to live to be 80, or see how long you have left to work for God and to do good things? That's a long time. If you're 60, let's say you live to be 75, you have 15 years. You know how to spend the 15 years now. Spend that 15 years. Listen, if I live to be 50, I got 10 whole years left. That's a long time. Use that energy, because what you do not use for God is gone. And it's Luke 15. I'm sorry. I think it said Luke 16. Luke 15. Verse 14, the prodigal son. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. He began to be in want. Verse 17, when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants have my father bread enough to eat to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against you, and before thee, I am no more worthy to be called thy son, but make me one of thy hired servants.'" If I waste this next year in the world and don't go to church and don't pray and don't teach my kids about God and don't involve myself in the things that matter for eternity, I don't give to missions, I don't love people, I don't lift up fallen, I don't go visit the nursing homes, and I don't help a kid who's getting in trouble to stay out of trouble, if I don't use my strength and you don't use your strength, whatever you do in the next 10 years will not matter. You will get the end of that 10 years and say, "I breathe oxygen, I ate food, I slept, and I made some money and spent it." even earthly speaking, that's all you did. Let alone in eternity, that time's gone and it's just poof. I'd use that time because whatever you don't use for God is spent. The prodigal son, the money he blew out there, he can't get it back. He says, I just want to be a servant now. I could have been a very rich son. Now I'm just a servant. What you spend in your youth and in your life, you don't get back if you waste time. Many people, when they're young, think, you know what, I'll go out and do some fun things for a while and go out and be in the world. They don't heed Solomon's word. And they go try it. And then they come back to God after they realize what a waste their life was and how empty that was. And they come back to God. And now they've got baggage. And now they have got a bunch of things wrong in their life. And now they can't get that time back. And they wish for it back, but you can't get it back. Next, because you should be happy when you are young. Because you should be happy when you are young. We read those verses already. Serving God brings happiness. You should be happy. The Bible says to be happy when you're young. And you should be happy when you're young. However, the world brings emptiness. The way of a transgressor is hard, the Bible says. The way of sin is hard. The way of God is a shining light that shines more and more into the perfect day, the Bible says. Can I just tell you? My years of 16, 17, 18 were way more happy years than my years of 13, 14, 15. My years serving God were happier, earthly speaking, than my years in the world. It's a more fulfilling life. Listen, the suicide rate, if you just look at suicide rates, if you're a religious person in America, your suicide rate is multiple times lower. That's just a fact. All the studies say that. Every study says that. Every study says that Christian people are happier people. If people are so happy in the world, why do so many people who've got everything in the world, why are so many of them committing suicide in Hollywood? Why was Michael Jackson on 12 different kind of antidepressants and anti-anxiety things? You ever see those things? Think these people had everything they wanted. Yet they kill themselves, they commit suicide. Kurt Cobain wasn't as happy as I am. But he blew his brains out. It's all, that stuff happens all the time. This world doesn't satisfy you, it's the devil's lie. Next, because you have no guarantee that you will get past your youth. Let's go to James chapter 4. Why serve God now? Why? And by the way, I hope this is hopeful for you who aren't 15 or 20 or something. Because you're going to realize how much time you do have left. And you're going to say, you know what? I'm going to use this for God and have a happy, rich, fulfilling life. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to get the rewards from it. Because you have no guarantee you'll get past your youth. James chapter 4, verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be in the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Why? Because he knows to do good and he doesn't have a guarantee he'll have the future. How many of you in your teenage years had a friend die that was in her teenage years? Raise your hand. How many of you in your teenage years? Keep your hand up. You had a teenage friend die who were in your teenage years. That's the majority of you. I had, oh my soul. I don't know. I said six teenagers I knew who died. Well, I was a teenager. It was a pretty wild crowd. And I saw two of them die. You don't have any guarantee. How many of you have close friends who you were stunned when they were young, maybe in their 20s, but you couldn't believe their life was just starting and they got cut off early? How many have people like that? Raise your hand. People, they were young and they just got cut off way early and you're shocked because they had all life going for them. You don't have a guarantee of tomorrow. Isn't that an amazing thing? I don't have a guarantee of Monday. The Bible says that's boasting if you think you know you have it. It's evil. You're going to God and saying, you're going to guarantee me this. And you don't have a guarantee. You might have great health, but that doesn't mean you can't get a car wreck. You might be a safe driver and have the safest car in the world. It doesn't mean you're not going to slip in the shower. And by the way, it doesn't mean Jesus is going to come back before you get old. And then all your plans don't mean anything. That's why you remember the Creator in the days of your youth. Because you know what the good thing is? Those of you who are here today and you're in church and you're serving God and you're doing the right thing, you know the great thing is? If Jesus comes back today, you're doing great. And if Jesus doesn't come back today, you're doing great. If you die today, you're serving God. You're in church. And if you don't die today, you're going to have a great day because you're in church. Serving God's a win-win. That's why you remember now the Creator in the days of thy youth. And because you don't have any guarantee the future is going to come. All such boasting is sin. If the Lord wills, you'll do this and that. But that's what it says. And last of all, you ought to serve God in your youth because it gives you a direction for the rest of your life. It gives you a direction for the rest of your life. I think of so many passages. I thought, what verse should I write for that? How about, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me. Listen, there's so many verses. God's hand holds you, and he holds you by the right hand. You're in the palm of his hand. Can I tell you, when you serve God, life begins to take purpose. And when you don't serve God, your life is random and given a chance, and you never know what'll happen. The direction that serving God gives, if you need to know where to go to college, you can pray about it. If you need to know who to marry, you can have biblical principles to tell you who to marry and who not to marry. You can ask God to lead the right person in your life. You can have God guide you where to go to church, Open Door. You can have God guide you what to do with your life. And you have God guide you in how to live. And you can even pray about, Lord, what car should I buy? And you know what? Your whole life can be in the hands of a God who will lead you beside the still waters. He gives direction to your life. You know how many people, I get amazed sometimes when I talk to somebody and how flippantly huge decisions are made in their life. You ever talk to somebody who moved to Seattle from California? Or moved here from Boston or something? So many people move here. And you say, why'd you move here? I don't know. Just seemed like a thing to do. My cousin moved here and I didn't have anything else to do with my life. And literally the entire life is so without direction. My company said that there was an opening out here. And you know what? Sometimes when you're a Christian, God works that together. But you know what? If you're not a Christian, you're just blown about by the wind. You have no direction in your life. You might go to some city and meet the wrong person who's going to ruin your life. There is so little direction you have. It's just all your intelligence, and your intelligence doesn't know if that city is going to have a huge, huge depression in the economy. You don't know if you're going to go there, get beaten and robbed. You don't know. It is just a random life. Let me tell you, serving the Lord gives you direction. You have a shepherd in your life. That's why in your youth, you got to remember your Creator, because you know what the strange thing about life is? You make most of your important decisions before you have enough brains to make those decisions. You decide whether you're going to serve God usually in your youth. You decide who you're going to marry when you're young. Man, most if I could take my brain and put my brain into an 18-year-old body, how many of you could do a lot better with your life if you started again and had your brain and kept your brain and started again in life? How many of you do a whole bunch? You could do a whole bunch better, couldn't you? But you know, you make your decisions when you're young. That's why counsel is so important, by the way. That's why you better be serving God when you're young, because you're going to make big decisions, and all of a sudden you're married to a person who's not a good person you're married to. And you made a big mistake. They get pregnant when they're young. They go and make these decisions, and are the whole rest of their life is a certain direction because they didn't serve God when they were young. Listen, folks, right now you got the chance, whatever you've done before, no matter what your age is, serve God now. Because it gives you direction, it's a good life, it's a purpose life, and you'll enjoy your life more serving God. And I would do that if I were you. And why worship your Creator in your youth? Because he has a plan, and you find that plan in his will. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you for your word. I pray we now worship you in the days of our youth. I pray we Lord, people here, there's nobody really old in this room, Father. We all got a good decade or two left, Father. if you tarry, and if you will, Lord, I pray we would serve you right now while we can. I pray you'd make our lives productive, and I pray you'd give us wisdom to do so, and I pray that we'd follow your will for our lives, Lord.